this week, on the 16th of December 2001, 500 fans representing more than 80 clubs travelled to Sellers Park to protest against the Dons' proposed move to that place. Chris Wilmot netted a 66th-minute winner against Nottingham Forest on a day when on-field action seemed rather less important than football politics. Meanwhile, two former sports ministers, Tony Banks and Kate Hoey, were amongst 70 MPs who signed a House of Commons motion against the move tabled by Wimbledon MP Roger Cassell. Ah, yes, and that was the day that the Coppolalculator was first used to identify how many people were in that crowd. We don't need to do that anymore at Player Lane because we fill it out every week. We're the same old Wombles. We're back.
I've been standing here since many years ago. You've been under my skin for as long as I have known. We traveled away and we stand in the rain and the cold. Take the rough with the smooth. If we win or we lose, we just go on.
Hello, hello, dear listener, and welcome to the podcast. Exciting. We have a one-in, one-out policy here at the Same Old Wombles. So I'm very excited that today joining us is our producer, man with the buttons, Dr. Professor Adam, leave an apple on my desk, Proctor. Hey, Adam, how you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
No end-of-term gifts?
I got some fudge. I got some vegan fudge from a member of staff, which is very
fudge.
Nice.
You could have just said no. our resident stato, the man with all the football knowledge that we need. Hello, Tool Mark Lewis. How are you, my friend?
Good evening. I'm doing all right, actually. Quick amendment from the start. I believe, because he was a Tory MP, that it was Roger Casale who was the MP at that point, not Casale or whatever. Yeah. Who did us a fat lot of good until we actually got the whole new stadium thing approved, at which point he jumped on board because he realised that it was a bandwagon he couldn't afford to miss out on. But all good. I just foolishly tried to do some Christmas shopping in Kingston the week before Christmas, but actually that's relatively chilled out.
That's why it looks like your glasses have been knocked off, mate. It looks like you've been through some sort of, you know...
I have four pairs of glasses, two of which are slightly out of focus, but work. One of which I left at my sister's in Hampshire on Sunday. And the other pair, the one I have with me, which is broken and only has one lens.
Okay.
Always good for a podcast with no video.
And then
but
we describe
the ones that
it.
Actually work.
We describe it. We paint the picture. Anyhow, and our focus, my friend, Al Cooper, apparently is in a field somewhere. I don't quite understand that.
In December? But
I don't understand
with
what
his reputation.
Yeah, exactly. But we've managed to bring in a wonderful substitute.
Upgraded. That's what we've done. We've upgraded.
Upgraded.
To
the amazing Jude Turner. Hello, Jude. How are you doing?
A little scared, but fine.
There's absolutely everything to be terrified about.
What are you scared of, Jude?
Talking to you lot.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you should be.
I've known Jude almost as long as I've known you lot. So, you know, it's no secret.
Only longer than you've known some of your children.
That's true, actually.
Aw, this is awesome. Well, listen, Jude, do you know what? I think let's take this moment here to get to know you a little bit more. So, come on, when was your first Wimbledon match? What first drew you in?
I don't know what year it was. I told you I was useless with dates. It was at Old Power Lane. I was about six, seven, so it was in the 80s. And I grew up just off Hayden's Road, so I could hear everything. So I could hear the dogs, I could hear the football, I could hear the stock cars. So I was always like really curious as to what's all that noise going on down there. And I nagged my dad to take me. And the first match I remember, which wasn't necessarily my actual first one, was against Millwall. And I remember that because I asked him why the men were using all the bad words. And my dad was like, shut up. But I
Oh,
made friends with the Millwall guys and they gave me some apple pies. So that's my first memory of watching.
did the police come in from the back of the West Bank and generally
I don't
charge
remember
the
any
Millwall fans
police. I
out?
just remember standing up, there being quite a lot of space around me, and a man in a leather jacket who previously my dad had been trying to shield me from because of my daddy. Why
Oh,
are the men using the bad word? giving me apple pies. Yeah, and that was it. I went with my dad then, but all my family go to Wimbledon. My mum, my dad, my sister, we've always all gone as a pack. Even when we've moved away from the area.
that's brilliant. And do you have sort of like a favourite moment, looking back? I mean, but a Wimbledon one and maybe an AFC Wimbledon one. I mean, we are the same team, but come on.
Yeah, I don't know if you can like pinpoint one because each of the eras feel really different to each other, but they're kind of different. I kind of like them for different reasons. Like a lot of my fondest memories are, in King's Meadow, not in our, big spangly, glorious stadium now, because that's where I felt like, there was a real like football family of this like incredible thing we'd done together. So I'm not sure, as I said, I'm rubbish at remembering like stuff about specific matches. It's more that sort of general feeling. And those years sort of, I guess, in my 20s, and your life was Wimbledon because you were there on Saturday. You'd go out with everyone, you'd go out with the players, you'd talk about football all week and just, rinse and repeat. And I didn't really sort of do much else other than do football. So yeah, that was really good times.
That's fantastic, Drew. How brilliant is that? Lifelong Wimbledon fan, and her family is too, and now on the podcast. I mean, how much better could it get?
And anyone who actually has one of those old school furry front shirts still from one of the first or second season almost certainly got sold that by Jude or by me, to be fair,
Yeah, that's true.
because we were part of that crazy group.
Yeah, so Dad used to. I don't even know which bit that started, Mark. That was around the same time as the Wombulance and Tudor being outside. And then we had all the stock at that time. It's before there was even a shop. So Dad used to go and get the stock from under the, it was under the stand, wasn't it? In
He
the
was,
back
yeah,
bar.
limbo
And
dancing, which is
my
great
dad
for
was
me,
quite,
so.
yes. Yeah, he wasn't as tall as Mark, but he was quite tall. And he constantly bashed his head every week, like, go and get the shirts. And you'd hear my dad swearing as he bashed his head, and we'd drag it out and just have him on like a trestle table. And then when we got the shop, yeah, there was we spent all our spare time in the shop. And then I put on events with Ivor. That was I was working in a record shop at the time, so that therefore made me a completely aficionado of you could put on some gigs for us. It's like, I don't actually know any bands, but okay. Yeah, and it kind of went from there. We put on the best tribute bands of there was the Smythes and Oasis, all the greats.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, it was fun.
And what I wonder what ever happened to the Wombulance?
Don't
Because
know.
we should have that somewhere. That
What, the
needs to be
actual
somewhere.
van or
Yeah, the actual van, the actual Wombulance. Wonder where that is. That should be, it's
it's probably
part
in a
of our
scrapyard
history.
somewhere, unfortunately.
No, it should be. We should have it permanently part time. We should be serving food now at Plough Lane, or used for that little mini shop that we have.
No, you know where that massive blank brick wall that's on the right-hand side from where we sit, it should be like bursting out of the wall, like half coming through. That'd be
Oh
quite cool.
yeah.
That's, I mean,
I mean,
I'm trying to talk about something
is it Get
practical.
Not Get Carter? What's the film? My husband will kill me for not knowing this. Italian job. You can have it
Yeah,
hanging over the end of the.
perching off the stand.
Yeah.
It's a, yeah, okay. Anyhow, let's find the Wombulance. Where is it? We're people together on this community,
If you
all
know, get in
three or four
touch.
listeners, come together. We need to find that Wombulance. Brilliant. Oh, thanks, Jim. Well, thank you very much for joining us. Listen, what we're going to do is we'll get onto the wheel. We would have fun a bit, and we'll just chat through some other bits and bobs. But I think we probably have to start with what is potentially the most uninspiring game that we've seen forever. The most, I think, Mark, you called it the most nil-nil game we've ever seen.
I called it after 49 minutes and 19 seconds. That's how much I really remember from the whole game, which was to say, well, literally a very, very early second half. Neither team at that point, or between then and the end of the game, had any inclination, interest, or general desire, let alone ability, to be able to actually fashion a chance, let alone a goal, to actually win the game. And therefore, nil was the maximum either team deserved.
I mean, it was a poor. I guess the what was there? Three moments I remember. Bishop's save. Then there was a disallowed goal. We're still trying to get to the bottom of why that goal was disallowed because I don't think it was a foul on Bishop. It might have been a foul on the defender in the build up to it.
I think the ref was bored, frankly, because if you look at the replay, he wasn't even that nearby either, so he didn't have a particularly good view. Bishop certainly wasn't fouled, so I think we got away with one, as they say.
We hit the post, though, didn't we? The crossbar. That was quite early on.
Steve hit the crossbar,
Yeah, can
which
we just
was
give player of the year to Steve now? Because, you know, unless he has an awful second half of the season, he's head and shoulders
well,
the most consistent player we've got.
it is quite possible that that happens. But I'm just wondering how we get out of this kind of funk. It's really been a very, very difficult time. What is it? 2 points from a possible 18? The joint worst record over the last six games. I mean,
And yet we're still 10th.
and yet we're still 10th, but we're now in a position where we are, I think, 5 points off the playoffs and 5 points off the relegation places. So we
It's
are bang middle.
to me, it's definitely glass half full or glass half empty. Because have we been any good recently? No. Has there been anything to actually excite Jude and her clan, let alone any of the rest of us? No. I mean, I actually barely noticed that Adam was sitting directly behind me on Saturday because he had nothing very much to say because there was nothing going on. It wasn't even like anyone was fouling Omar that he could complain about.
The highlight of my game on Saturday was when we were throwing fruit pastels for the photographer and he caught one in his mouth.
Well, hey!
Was the most exciting part of
Come
the
on.
game.
But that is brilliant, though. That is,
Yeah,
you
he's very
can't.
obliging.
Well, it was a not that honestly. So that day starts bad anyway because it's a 12:30 kickoff, which is just ridiculous. So it's so annoying. You have to get this the wrong train you don't want to get, etc. So that was annoying. I mean, I enjoyed the fact that it was a nice sunny sort of clear blue sky. That was quite quite enjoyable. Got a pint afterwards at the leather bottle. Managed to sit in a quite comfy chair. Yeah, and then there was 90 minutes something going on between the train and the train home. It was just annoying. I mean, I didn't mind the day out, but yeah, at least I mean we got a point, so
But I think that's both what both sides wanted because they both sides have been on a bad run. So I think both sides wanted a point, and it was they weren't gonna chase it down. I mean, I'm really interested about what we do on, Friday in our next game. Mark, did you hear some news about players coming back into the team?
I did read online somewhere, someone, and again, you're going to believe someone's aunt's uncle, second cousin, so to speak. Someone said they'd basically spoken to Matt Stevens outside the ground because obviously we were trying to cling on to any kind of crumb or comfort that we possibly could do. And Matt Stevens had said that he was back for the Northampton game, which obviously is a couple of days. We're recording Wednesday, so yeah, a couple of days' time. Which even if he's back on the bench, then that in itself is going to be useful, Philip, I think, because I mean, the fans have been good-natured and top value all the way through. Although even the South Stand fans, who are usually arguably some of the best bits about home games recently, because the football on the pitch hasn't been much to write home about, even they were relatively subdued on Saturday.
Yeah, fair.
But I mean, again, if there's been an illness in the camp. I also read somewhere that someone had spoken directly to Jake Reeves and he talked about there being a norovirus and people throwing up in the dressing room at half time against Exeter. Now, that's horrible. And if any of us as individuals within our workplaces, working from home individually or within a business, had that, then you'd be confined to bed for however many days. No one really gives footballers that kind of leeway, do they? And unfortunately, we know we have a squad of about 18, 19 players, realistically, who have been good enough, consistently enough to play in the first team this season. And we don't have a bigger pool of players. We don't have three or four or five other younger players that we can parachute in to be able to make up the numbers when we have injuries or illness that affects us. As a result, it's almost like Exeter and the game Saturday against Mansfield were just games we had to get through. And if we didn't get beaten 3-0 in each of them, then that was a success, so to speak.
Yes, I see how our ambitions have turned in the last couple of months. I'm really keen to know, and I think there's probably a podcast out there which will know this, what our form is like in November. Because my sense has been that we always have a dip at this time. I mean, we usually have another dip in the new year, but I always just get a sense that we have a dip in around this time in the run up to Christmas. So there always seems to be something that happens. I mean, it'd be great to have Stevens back. We think that Sass has got a hamstring, but we feel it might be not that bad. But Hackford's going to be out for a while, and obviously Foyo is, banned now until the end of Jan. So it's all a bit it's all a bit rubbish at the moment. The other thing to talk about, Mark, was that because obviously Reeves didn't start; he started with Maycock. And what did you make of Maycock? He seemed in this interview afterwards. He seemed really pleased to actually get on the pitch.
Oh.
Yeah,
I
which is
know,
sweet,
I know.
but we're not playing non-league football anymore. And I don't want to like pile on. From my understanding, Maycock, and I've seen a few interviews with him in the year and a half or so he's been with us. He seems like a really sweet, decent, quite quiet bloke. Doesn't really impose himself with the personality in the way that someone like, I don't know, Lyle Taylor or Hippolyte or someone like a Reeves or Bugle would do. And likewise, on the pitch, he doesn't really do that either, unfortunately. So he was really keen to be involved and really happy to be involved and said, you move the ball well. It's like, if that's moving the ball well, I really would hate to see moving the ball poorly, frankly. Because he ran around lots and probably the equivalent of a football step counter, those little bra things they wear to show how active they've been during the games, that probably showed how physically active he'd been. However, if you did the heat map thing to see how many touches did he have in our box? How many touches did he have in the opposition box? Negligible, unfortunately. And really, all of our attacking players were like that. I actually said at the beginning of the game, I thought this was kind of his real opportunity, last chance saloon type thing, to show that he deserves a place in the squad when everybody actually is fit, and therefore he can impose himself in that particular way. And cause a particular issue for Smith or Reeves or Hippolyte or whoever we're going to actually put in them in midfield. But he was on the pitch, but frankly, he was almost as anonymous as Hutchinson, who apparently was on the bench, but no one actually saw him. So no one's quite sure whether or not
But the
Hutchinson
problem
actually
is,
still exists either.
I was trying. I just realised the BBC has a new stat thing where you can click on the players and it tells you some stuff, right? And I don't normally look at the stats, but I was thinking maybe there's something in here that I could. But it's literally like no one did anything. It's like 0-0-0-0-0. It's quite high pass percentages. Like, oh, it's a high passing percentage, but it's like no one did anything in that game. That's half the problem. I mean, Orsi wasn't didn't do. He did the least of nothing, which did my head in for the whole the
I
however
am
long
not
he
a
was on.
fan. Not a fan of Wolsey at all.
I'm just,
No.
this is interesting. I mean, I'm sure there are fans out there, but Jude, we've said this a trillion times about him.
I want to love him, but I don't.
Yeah, I think the biggest issue he's got is when he came in and he did his first interview with us, he didn't he had an opportunity there to say how pleased he was to be joining the real Dons
Yeah.
and that sort of stuff, and he didn't do that.
He hasn't got much grief considering he hasn't had much grief. I'm surprised that the lot I sit with are harsh, and he doesn't get grief. They're always trying to compose a song for him, mostly
Really?
because the game's so boring. They're doing some sort of creative songwriting workshop about what the lyrics of the Orsi song should be, and I'm usually bickering with Sam, who sits next to me, about how he doesn't deserve a song.
Does
He's
he have a
certainly.
decent song? I must admit, I haven't heard it, and I
Oh,
wouldn't
it's
put it
no,
that
about
far away from
lippity
you.
clop and hair, and it's very horse based. That horsey, horsey, horsey. Yeah, I'm not going to sing it.
There's nothing. There's nothing. We're not having an Aussie song. Around
No,
us,
why not?
people are a lot less charitable.
I wouldn't call any of
about
them
him.
charitable. Shout out to Block 103, but they're not charitable at all. But he does seem to get more of a neutral rather than attack, which I'm very surprised about.
No, I mean, I think around where we are, people are, no, we're not, we've not, he's not won anybody over, to be honest. So
Yeah.
I'm not a fan, and I just think that was his big problem, is he's just not connect. He hasn't connected with the supporters, because
It
he,
just doesn't feel like he fits. It feels like he might be good, but it doesn't fit. He's not the right kind of player for us. We do
that's
little chat.
it. And it's weird. I mean, it's weird because I know that Craig Cope talks about getting the right player for us. I'm not sure that about that one. And one other player who I think is an exceptional talent, but again, it's really hard to see how he fits into our group, which is Brown. I mean, I think he's a really talented player and can do some amazing stuff. But sometimes it's just like, it's weird how where he fits into our system. Mark, I think
There's a
we've talked about
parallel
this before.
dimension somewhere where we can work out where Brown should play. Because we have talked about this before. But in this parallel dimension, we'd work out whether he's a number 10, and therefore whether you design your team around him, whether he is a ball-winning midfield player, which he certainly isn't, whether he's a winger, which he certainly isn't, whether he's a centre forward, which he certainly isn't. But we've tried to play him in all three of those roles I've just mentioned. And he hasn't really particularly looked like he, I don't want to say he's not trying, but he hasn't looked particularly interested overall. So is that because he knows he's better than everyone else and just doesn't want to drag himself down to the level? I'm not sure. But I must admit, I thought when I saw games like the Cardiff game and the Luton game, beginning of the season, and we were playing teams passing the ball quickly, not necessarily steamrolling us, but certainly dominating us with possession. I thought that's the way that the League One would be. But then you see games like Burton, and you see games like Mansfield that we just did, obviously, and you think, well, hang on, actually, there's a relative level of dross in League One, like there was in League Two, frankly, and we seem to be part of that dross right now. So actually, in a very strange way, that encourages me. Because whilst there is only a limited number of points between us and the bottom four, and us and the playoff zone, and most people are looking straight down, not straight up, there's also a lot of teams. We haven't played Orient at all yet. We've got to play Exeter again. We played really poorly against Exeter, but they still took 80 minutes to be able to score one goal past us. And you'd hope that we would have learned relatively quickly. So, really, apart from Cardiff, who were really quite impressive against us, I haven't seen anyone where I'm thinking, oh my God, I don't really want to play them again. So when you've got fitter players, when you've got more rested players, and that could include Jennings, and that certainly you would hope would include Stevenson, Hackford when they're back from injury, and who knows what will happen in the tombola that is the January transfer window. I suspect that'll just be in, it will just involve one or two players going out and one or two players going in. But no real change. Do you want some stats, by the way, on how poor we are in November? I've just looked it up.
Yeah.
I was thinking that because I'm sure that the lull last year was around now.
It is usually around now. So I'm going back 3 seasons, right? The thing about November is you usually have a couple of FA Cup games there. So November 2022, we beat Weymouth in the FA Cup, beat Tranmere and Leyton Orient in the league. This isn't League Two. And drew with Salford. So unbeaten all month, in fact, except for losing to Chesterfield in the FA Cup. So that was 3 games unbeaten in the league. 2023, we won two league games. We beat Doncaster Rovers and Notts County, turned out to be relatively decent in terms of teams. And we lost to Gillingham away. So again, not too bad. Also won in the FA Cup. So, but what you're trying to say, Mark, is my theory holds no water. You know, it's just,
Last season, a little bit more perhaps. Although again, last season, 3rd of November, we beat Franchise in the FA Cup. Then we lost at home to Grimsby. Then we beat Barrow at Barrow 3-1. Drew with Accrington Stanley with a howitzer from Tillian last minute.
Oh, yeah.
Lost at home with Niall's best mate Nathan Lowe scoring for Walsall. So that was two home defeats. Beat Tranmere away and then lost in the FA Cup. So that was three home defeats in November last year. So
Okay.
actually, last November is the last is the worst one. So the last couple of Novembers would hold water in terms of,
That's what we're remembering. We're just short
yeah.
term ones.
Yeah. Sure. Well, I mean, it's just a feeling that things aren't going so well, and I like to catastrophize and make and sort of like say if we can just jump November, but actually the truth is we've been all right in it. But the big thing is obviously as you've just mentioned, what we're coming up to the January transfer window. We need to get those funds in. What? I mean, this is the thing. Jude, how much? I mean, have we got some money to play with? And what's going on with the We Are Wimbledon fund?
We have some money. We've worked really hard to get some money.
Yep.
I think that the expectations we had of how much we would raise were perhaps slightly unrealistic, but it didn't help, I think, that when we launched, every other bit of the club decided to launch fundraising in exactly the same week, which did put a massive scupper on a lot of our plans because we had to wait. We had to needed everyone else to sort of go before us. That was what was, agreed. But some bits, it's been a bit trial and error, wouldn't you agree, Adam? I think we've got a Christmas t-shirt out now. If anyone wants to, there's still some of those left. The pub quiz was probably one of our most successful things, which we did at the Alex.
That was
That
brilliant.
was a really good thing. We definitely want to repeat that. And the regular donations really help. Just people, having a regular direct debit doesn't have to be for much. That also, really, really adds up. But, it's a group of us who are just, fans trying to fit it around all our work commitments and everything else. And we literally have a WhatsApp group where we're like, what can we do now? And then we pretty much just then do it immediately. It's all quite fast paced, isn't it, Adam? Usually do have an idea and we all either give him a thumbs up or you're mental, we're not doing that. And then we just kind of go for it. So there's been a few sort of there's been a bit of kickback like there is always when anyone asks for money for the club. We wouldn't have to do that if we had a billionaire owner, etc. But we're not moaning, we're doing something about it. So take from that, what you will. I'm very much in the And I know Adam is too, of that I would always rather, I'd rather go back to sitting on hay bales and having a lovely club that we own than taking money from any owner coming in again, ever. And I know that isn't always a very popular opinion. So that's partly reason why I wanted to get involved was, well, let's just try and help and do what we can. I don't know what our figure is at the moment. Can you remember, Adam? I'm useless with numbers.
I know, I'm gonna look it up. I'll look it
But, oh,
up.
I'm trying to think. I'm the one who did the bloody graphic for it. I think we're on 19,500.
Was gonna say it's nearly 20, I'm sure.
Yeah, and we haven't had an update for a few weeks. So yeah, I think so around 20 grand is what we've got so far.
But I mean, I know people think that everyone's thinking, oh, we, getting up to into the tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands, but the truth is that any amount of money is gonna help, and that's not to be sniffed at. Almost 20 grand, that's pretty cool, and would certainly help in terms of maybe not transfer fees, but help with loan with a payments towards a loan, that sort of
Yeah,
stuff. I
it's going
think
to
would
pay
be,
for something, isn't it? Any money is going to pay for
ex
something.
exactly.
Not going to buy us a new squad, but.
I think it's great, and and hopefully in the run up to Christmas, people will start to give again. I mean, and this is, like I say, this is the one way financially you can directly contribute to the first team men's squad. This is the way you could do it. If you want to contribute, you could do it. This is the way.
Exactly. No one's asking anyone to contribute because, no one's got any money. Everyone's got cost of living and, it's Christmas and no one is expecting people to donate hundreds of pounds unless you, are in, lucky enough to sort of have finances like that. But it's like you said, it's people's chance to get involved and do something practical. And you're not necessarily going to notice 5, 10 quid going out a month. That is
No.
a, that's only a couple of beers now, especially in
Well,
Wimbledon.
it's a beer.
Anytime I don't drink much anymore, I'm like, is that a beer? Is that how much beer costs?
I
I
mean, £7.15 in the Alex, but I must admit, I have stopped looking recently. You
yeah.
know?
Wow.
It's
Oh,
nice
can't
beer, but
believe
it's
it
still
now.
£7.15. Yeah.
God, see, I still think of it as what it was the years when I used to drink in the Alex of being about 3 quid.
Not anymore.
That's why
I
they
live call
in
this
the
'90s in my head.
podcast Send My Wobble. You have to
In
live
my
in the
head, it's
'90s in your
always
head.
1992. That's where I'm staying.
Yeah, so the total is currently 19,662, but it hasn't been updated for a little while, so that will kind of click over, I'm sure. It's probably already internally over 20 grand anyway, so
Yeah,
I
if
think
you get like a summary from Luke from like the website donations every month.
I think also just pick up on something else that you said, and I have to put this in here every single time people mention about going back down to non-league.
Yeah,
It's
sorry.
not that anyone wants to go down to non-league. That's not what we're looking for.
No.
But I also think that people have to realise that there's a valid group of supporters, probably much larger than you think, who
Yeah.
actually want to remain fan-owned. And that is the general thing. And it's not just about the PTSD, that whole thing, although that does play a part, but it's also about, how we can get involved in the club. We are much more involved in the club than so many other fans. There are so many different ways to get involved in the club. Like here we are, through the We're Wimbledon Fund, you're contributing to first team squad. You've got the Dons Trust board. You are actually able to elect the people that represent you on the DTB. It's our decisions about how the club is run. There's other things like the Wimbledon Foundation. People can get involved in that and doing voluntary work. You can get involved in in Wish, the Wimbledon Sporting History, like great stuff in the museum. That's all pulled together by us, our supporters. So it looks like how we want things to look because we have the say in it. If other people, if someone else gets involved, it becomes their plaything. Is genuinely what it becomes.
I was going to say, Matthew, as well. I think the I think, like Jude said, one of the best things we did was the quiz in the Alex, and like everyone there had such a great time, and people made the effort and all that kind of stuff, and it obviously raised a nice amount of money, but you just wouldn't do that if we weren't fan owned. That just wouldn't happen in the same way, because there'd be no reason to gather in that kind of different setting. So there's all these things that are happening outside of the Saturday game that I think enrich people's lives in different ways, because they want to contribute, but also because they know they're going to meet other people who are like-minded towards contributing to something that they enjoy on a Saturday, So it's kind of this
Yeah.
build up to that, So
It's
yeah.
not about not wanting to have, the big spangly stadium and the going up the leagues, but it's that sort of, and it's also not being, I know a few people who think in this way, who are in that camp, I suppose, of I'd rather that, like you said, isn't necessarily as much of a minority as people might think.
But yeah, but dude, I think you're going down the road of that, like we say, there are a lot more people who want to remain fan owned. There are people there who do want to sell up. I get that, and it's a loud voice, and it becomes louder when you're not doing so well on the pitch. That's always been the case with us. As
Yeah.
soon as the results start going badly, everyone is just it's just like that, because to survive, we have to, people have to contribute. But I was really pleased with our conversation with Angus a couple of weeks ago when he was saying about the things going on. Now, this isn't to say that there aren't issues, and the biggest one of the biggest issues is actually magnified this week, where I was saying to Mark and Adam in preparation for the show, we do a little bit of prep. I said, "Hey, can anyone feedback on the AGM from Monday?" And this is, we're going to get slated for this. None of us were there. So it was, and it's really difficult. And I just think because they come across as being so deadly dull. I mean, they have done a good job in previous SGMs of having like Craig Cope there, or JJ, or the foundation or something like that, so they get people in. But I'm just wondering about timings, and part of me is thinking maybe a Monday evening is not, certainly for me, it's not the time I want to be going out. Is there a way of doing it on a match day? Is there a way of doing it on a Saturday in the morning? I know that there's a lot of setup, but surely it's not going to be take too much to set from a rows of chairs to tables or whatever it is, if things finish by 12 o'clock. Maybe that's a thing. Maybe just looking at the times, or having it all online. I don't know. It's just there needs to be other ways of doing it, because it and obviously I think some of the agenda items just sound really tedious. Resolution, Ujima flip it, and whatever else. Maybe we could just say what it is, vote on whatever the issues, and the language in terms of that needs to be looked at as well. So there are, I'm not saying that it's perfect, it isn't.
I think I was going to say, I think we've talked about this before as well. And I think one of the things that, again, we potentially need to, the Don's Trust board need to maybe think about is that, the one on Monday was an AGM. So it's the legal one that they have to have where they sign off against the financial report. They bring the new people in where necessary. There's certain things they have to legally do annually. And so it's probably the driest of all of the meetings. And in the past, they've thrown in some other resolutions that they're trying to get through at the same time. Now they've sort of, they seem to, over the last year, have decoupled a bunch of the resolutions where there's a bit more, where we need to be a little bit more involved potentially, as into SGMs. But again, are there ways to do? I don't want to, they shouldn't. I mean, there's a lot you don't want to do so too many things. Everyone's kind of, we're all doing lots of stuff, but it's like, are there ways to have other types of engagement meetings that we hear a bit more about, that are a bit more open, but maybe don't have such boring
That on the
agendas? Maybe.
legal blurb, yeah, because they do have to do a lot of that legally, don't they? Like, go over things and vote on resolutions, which is no one wants to hear that, really. But yeah, there definitely needs to be a lot more openness, because that's half the conflict, isn't it? That people feel that it's cliquey and secretive, and it's kind of like, well, they volunteered and actually stepped up and did it, whether you like them or not. You have a chance, much like politicians, you have a chance to, vote. I helped Dubes do the hustings this year to just, well, at least this is here and you can watch it or not. But it is open of who's standing. And yeah, there is an element of moaning but not taking any action. And I think it's a fan base do that a lot.
Exactly. That's exactly it. I mean, it's not cliquey. It's not cliquey, people. It's boring. And
Yeah,
that's what, and
not
that is
doing
what,
some secret ceremonies
yeah,
and
it's not a secret thing.
necking
It's just like,
tequila.
it's just like, I think you all need to be honest with yourselves, as we are being, which is that, I had better things to do on a Monday evening. And
And
that's the thing.
the actual reality is the number of people, and probably the actual individuals themselves, that would have turned up for that meeting on Monday would have probably been, give or take, 5 or 10 individuals. The same people that would have been there actually attending meetings at King's Meadow, even going back to when Eric was actually showing us on little storyboards and whatever, the different plans of what Plough Lane potentially could look like before the planning permission even happened. And I've attended loads of those meetings. I couldn't attend this week's meeting as I was away visiting my dad in Somerset. They don't lend themselves particularly well to online engagement, unfortunately. But I guess the reality is those meetings and the format of those meetings is very, very similar, as I say, to things that were going on 15, 20 years ago at King's Meadow. The world is not the same as it was 15, 20 years ago, much as a lot of us here of a certain age and a certain ilk might want it to be. But people engage in different ways. There are different political parties, there are different forum and different ways of being able to do that social media wise, and or I don't know whether it's TikTok, Instagram, whatever the appropriate forum may be. And I don't want to come across as something like a political leader who's trying to get onto some social media platform and look particularly out of place on it. But at the end of the day, we as a football club, and obviously we're supporters of that football club, the football club themselves need to communicate in all the ways they possibly can do. And they need to use all those different ways. And they also need to try and get as much background information as they can, whether it's a survey that they do when season tickets go out for renewal and so on, about how people want to get stuff. The reality also is, sadly, the only people that fill in that kind of survey are the people that may well turn up for a meeting in person anyway. So the other 75% of people who are not attending any of those meetings in person are the people you need to somehow engage with. So maybe just going around with a clipboard to everybody who's in an executive box, or just having whatever
That's it.
the
That's it.
banqueting thing is in a match like that could be useful.
Yeah, I
Ask their
agree with you.
opinions.
I agree with you. I think when it comes to having surveys, I think actually surveying people at the mat at a match, that's a good way to get a whole load of people involved. That's a task for for volunteers. And obviously then you have to collate all the data and stuff like that. But I think that seems like a very good solution to me, Mark. It's a good call.
I think also what they're asking, like sometimes when they're talking about ways of, engaging, you're like, do you want, this or this or this? And they're all not very clear on what these options are, and they all sound really dull. So I think it almost needs to have maybe a more, I don't know, modern isn't the right word, but I think everything is so sort of set in this kind of corporate legal jargon kind of mode, even the surveys, that I think it almost maybe then get a copywriter or a branding expert or something. There are creative people in our fan base to make it more appealing, so that
Gene
then when
Taylor
you're
being one of
asking the questions, you're getting, you're maybe going to get more engagement.
But you're quite right then. Modern probably is the right word for that, because we are now in that situation where the second generation of Wimbledon fans, who are the grown-up children, teenage children at best, of the likes of us that went and were taken by their parents in the 70s and 80s and so on, are all going in and engaging. And the way to keep them engaged, to be able to keep, Matt's teenage daughter wanting to come across from Southeast London to be able to go to home games and so on and so forth, and bring friends of hers there, and actually it will be quite an exciting engagement. The way to actually get Jude's son to come to more than two games in his life and
A
actually
game
see us
on
win.
Saturday,
I
bloody
know,
game
game on
on
Saturday.
Saturday.
Yeah,
Oh
I know.
no, not
It's not
helping me in my
really going to
pitch.
help, is it?
No,
But
that's
yeah.
is this. I mean, I and obviously, Jude, whenever we get guests on and stuff like that, I mean, one of the big questions we have to ask is, when are you standing for the DTB?
Never.
And here.
That is a poison chalice, that is.
And here, my friends, here, DTB
Yeah.
people, is biggest issue that we have is that
You keep putting people off from standing.
no, it's not that. It's
Yeah,
well, I mean, it's not that. It's just you hear these things, and it's all the time. And that is, and I think that's the general vibe, though. It's a
because I'd
poison
like there to
chalice.
be, it to not be predominantly white men. That would be great.
Yeah.
But I don't think, I don't know, it just doesn't appeal in the slightest. And I'm a fucking serial volunteer. I've signed up for all sorts of things and thought, God, this is taking up a lot of time. Should I really be doing this? But that one is a hard no at
There
the moment,
you are.
anyway.
There you are. But it's interesting because, like, you're, and I have volunteered in the past with Wish. You're with Wish at the moment. They do, but that's great, isn't it? I mean, that's a sort of like looking at our history. It seems it's a lot less stressful, obviously, although it is taking up a lot of your time, Jude.
Yeah, it's the main stress is that we always have to get money, so we get funding because it is a registered charity in a museum, so
Yeah.
we can apply for funding. But it's all run by volunteers, no expensive, nothing, and they're predominantly retired people. Not everyone. We're getting some sort of fresh blood in now and trying to recruit, a lot more of our younger fan base. I had loads of applications from like sports journalist students. I was like, brilliant. But once they discovered that when I was offering them marketing work, which would be great for their CVs because I am a marketer, so I can teach them, but they thought they'd be, pitch side filming TikToks. I was like, no. And then, completely aired me. Down with the kids. So it's a case of, I don't know, there's so many things you can do for our club, whatever, you know, floats your boat, I guess. I was interested in having that connection back with Wimbledon. I'm interested in history. I don't actually have any interest in the other sports, but I'm interested in trying to market that. That's the appeal for me, is to change the sort of view of, if you mention Wish to people, they're like, oh, the old men with the programs. Nothing I haven't said to their faces, by the way. And I was like, you know, we need to get it that isn't just old men and programs. You know, we've got this really cool museum, and we've got so many things in the pipeline, and portals, and interactive. It's going to be interactive exhibits. There's loads of really interesting stuff happening, but that isn't the perception of it. So it's trying to, yeah, I'm working on it. I'm working on it. Watch
No,
this.
it's Jude, it's great. And we, I mean, I and like, listen, I'm a huge advocate for Wish, and I think celebrating our history is part of what we're about, and we've got such a varied history. You know, it's brilliant. It needs to be celebrated,
Yeah.
especially as we're one of the, you know, very few fan-owned clubs in the league. Well, one of two. Anyhow, so I was just looking at the papers. Adam, you voted, didn't you, though? You vote by proxy for these resolutions, and the one was, I think, it's run to adopt the constitution, another one to adopt a disciplinary thing. I don't know if they've, I couldn't see on the website if they've been passed. I'm assuming they were.
I don't know. I mean, it depends what, because they're kind of changing the way they were doing the proxies. I don't know if that's changed already or if that was one of the things we were voting for. So it's where, because before they had it, so the chair could sort of take a whatever kind of test of the room. But I think they've changed it now that they have to just go with what you've got. So you can't defer to the chair anymore.
So even this ex is exactly the point, is it not?
Yes.
Is
No.
even trying to find
Yes.
out the answers on the things you actually bothered to vote for.
And
It's
also,
complicated.
yeah, and also that the truth is that, you know, if you look at the DT, I'm looking at it now. So you go to the AGM and then you've got the list of papers here, all right? And there's one here, which is paper 6A, Don's Trust Board Resolution 14. And it doesn't say they're, you know, voting for charitable constitution. And then paper 7.A doesn't, you know, it does say disciplinary policy, but things are really, really unclear. And there's just so many papers and they're just so boring. But it's our club. And, you know, like, and these are important things that we're voting on. I just think there needs to be a better way of communicating what it is. But yeah, and the other thing to say is that we signed off the accounts, you know,
That's what I was
which
going
I
to come to, but I'm not in detail because I can't understand them that well. But what I did note is that again, there's a lot of donating happening. Like, and it's again, it's like, I mean, yeah, Jude's been doing these cool little splash things for the Instagram and whatever for the We Are Wimbledon Fund. Like, the Don's Trust should be doing the same thing about like how much money was donated in the last year. That would be great because it's hundreds, it's like it's way more money than you expect, and that's kind of buried in like it's a really, I don't know what font they're using, but it's probably like Arial. I mean, it's not Comic Sans, but it's just like so boring to look at, you know. It's just like, come on. But there's some positive news inside a bunch of these things. Like, I think updating the constitution is really positive. Updating the disciplinary procedure is probably really positive. Having a bunch of people donating is super positive. So they should be thinking about how do we pull those high level things out, put it into the spaces where it's going to be seen. And that probably is, yeah, Instagram, TikTok, maybe X. There's not many people on the Discord. It's me and a few other people seem to be bumbling around there, and then everyone's getting worried about GDPR and managing communities, and so they're freaking out about that. So we probably won't have a Discord in the future, which I think is a real shame. But
What I did
anyway.
notice about the annual financial accounts that came out the other day is there's a really interesting little simple graphic showing combined shirt sales in 22, 23, 23, 24, and 24, 25.
No, that was good.
Gone up over those 3 seasons from 4,457 to 5,382 last season. Sorry, 2 seasons ago. And then last season, the War Child shirt, which I must admit, I didn't think I'd seen, saw so many people wearing compared to the inverted commas Boca Juniors shirt. But that shirt, and evidently Adam is clearly responsible for this, sold 7,486, which again, in big scheme of things, isn't huge, but is a considerable jump on the previous season.
Yeah. You see that, and all these things. I mean, like this, you could put together quite a decent, infographic of all of these like really cool things and share it around like that, which would, I don't
Yeah,
know.
and again, the main website, like Mark says, does have some pretty nice graphics, like the one with the shirts and whatever. But it is they're buried in like reams of an essay about the whole thing. So it's like just make a little, make a TikTok that flicks through all of these and says how amazing it is. I mean, at least it might tell. It might just tell the story quicker or something. I don't know.
One of the things that, I promote as part of Wish is the stadium tours. And although the sort of, walk up and pre-booked like fans ones do okay, they actually make quite a bit of money from for the club, from the groups, from like, groups of people on private tours. They get quite a lot from that. But it's really awkward to, you've got to go to the tickets page, then you've got to find the little tab, and then there's just a tiny little paragraph going, plough low, pick a date. There's no graphic, there's no like design of the page. It's kind of like this is an easy money maker because people come from places like tourists come to a lot of them. The one Stu did the other last week, they were none of them were local. But they'd looked up, like things to do in London, or people do tours of London football clubs. They can't get into Chelsea, they come down to us. Or they're just interested because it's like a well together thing and it's affordable.
Oh, dear me. Anyhow, and then these are the issues with being fan owned. But the most important thing with all of this is that we do have a voice, and and that could be taken away. And I think it's so important that we run our club, even though some of it is quite dull.
Agree.
Much like the Mansfield game, we could describe it as like, that's what it is. It's like that. So anyhow, it's the news. There's a little bit of news. Sasu is up for player of the round, I believe, in the Virtuous Cup trophy.
The
So
amazing disappearing Sasu that he was so shocked by scoring 4 goals that
I
he's
know he's torn,
injured himself.
never to be seen
He
again.
obviously tore a hamstring in celebrating. So, go on, vote for him. The other thing, and we talked about this after the Huddersfield game, is that they put something very scandalous in their program. And we spoke to Angus about this a couple of weeks ago, and there has been a rebuttal in our program, but it's in the Don's Trust
It's not
news
a rebuttal.
section.
It's, it says, I'm reading it now.
No?
It
Okay.
says the Don's Trust board were disappointed to read the article in, it doesn't say the, it should say the, Huddersfield Town programme, which chose to repeat lazy cliches about our club. We respect all of our opponents, but cannot allow such comments to go without response, particularly when they feature in the matchday programme. We didn't desert our club. Our club was stolen from us. And so it goes on. That's not a rebuttal. What a rebuttal is a statement, as far as I understand, anyway, an admission by a
Admission
particular
of guilt.
organisation that they have, in this case, fucked up. And there's no other way of describing it, frankly. So someone said there could be something there from Huddersfield, but it's like that the when you have your red tops in the 1980s and 1990s that would make an outrageous, entirely libelous claim about a TV star or something. And then when it was proven because the TV star, through their lawyers, took that newspaper to court that actually they were talking hogwash, then they would publish a small paragraph on page 12 in 6 point. So no one could actually see it or read it. That, but actually Huddersfield probably have done the same thing. I actually genuinely, because I clearly had too much time on my hands, went onto the Huddersfield website and went back about 3 weeks to just after that game to try and find something where they publicly actually put their money where the mouth is and said, sorry, we messed up. But
Yeah, they haven't.
they're too paranoid. They're too paranoid, basically, about the fact that they're ninth on the table, only 1 point or one place above little AFC Wimbledon, and when they're expected to be running away with the title already, and are baying for blood for their manager. So they, as far as I know, haven't done anything about it, haven't stated anything. And so, unfortunately, whilst it was sensible and well-meaning on the behalf of the John Strauss board, it doesn't appear to have made any difference whatsoever.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm interested to see what will happen at that home game
Yeah.
against them. So maybe we'll have to put something in our program there about our, maybe the program actually once a year there needs to be a sort of like thing which celebrates our history. Let's do it against Huddersfield. Let's sort
When's
of.
hang on? When's the Huddersfield game? Because if it's like a re because it doesn't sound like it's going to be that exciting. And if it's in a car, if it's still cold and horrible, maybe we could get something with like banners and stuff that just say we like rebut like a, the rebuttal is us just kind of like plastering it across
The
the
Huddersfield
everywhere.
home game is the
Not
very
the old
last game of
game.
the season.
Yeah, it's the last
Last
game
game
of
of
the
the season.
season.
Party
Perfect. Yeah,
times.
that's it.
Second
We're
of
not going to
May.
care by then.
No.
We're not really
We'll
worried
either
about
be
that. Dude, I
safe
really
or
hope
do
not. I
relegate.
really
I mean,
hope that's where we're going into it. I really hope
Come
we're going
on.
into the last couple of games of the season,
Don't
like,
care.
not caring. That would
Yeah.
be awesome.
Yeah. I'm going with that.
Yeah, brilliant.
To be
Okay.
fair, our run-in, the last four games, Burton away, 11th of April, Plymouth at home, 16th of April, Wigan away, 25th, and then 2nd of May, home to Huddersfield. It's not the toughest necessarily, and nor would I expect any of those particular teams to be, well, maybe fighting for relegation, certainly not fighting, not pushing for promotion.
Well, right. Anyhow, I'm going to draw it to a close now. Thank you all very much. Thank you, Adam, for pressing all those buttons. Thank you, Mark, for the stats, the information. And Jude, thank you very much for all of the updates. It's been an absolute pleasure. And I hope you've realized it's not that, we're not that scary, really. And
Subscribe now to the Weird Woman of Fun.
subscribe now to the Weir Wimbledon Fund. Let's get it. Let's notch it up a couple more grand or whatever it is, because
Yeah, come on.
whatever we put in is going to help.
Isn't there a price
asking
draw?
at
There was
the
a
same
price draw
time.
the other day that someone won.
Yes, thank you, Mark. Completely unprompted, I should be doing that, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyone who subs, who donates regularly, we do prize draw and we pick randomly, and the prize is usually a signed shirt. We did one the other day. So yeah, if you subscribe, you do donate to the club. I do, and it can be as little as, oh, I'm so useless to do this because I can't remember the amount. Is it fiver or a tenner? It's not much that you get entered into the draw. Yeah.
Perfect. There you are,
Like me,
Eastie.
you can not win.
Details are on the website with people
Yeah.
who remember stuff.
www.wearewomenandfun.org.com.
I don't even know
Oh,
that.
don't know. I put it in the show notes.
Oh, wow.
Just Google
Wow.
it. People
This
don't
is,
type in
yeah.
URLs anymore. They don't even know that exists. Just type
Yeah,
in Weird Wimbledon
just
Fund.
Google We Are
Find us on
Wimbledon.
all of your favorite social media platforms, which will have the links.
Yeah.
It is
But,
dot com, but.
and we say this, if you can, donate. If you can't, don't. That's the way it is. That's how it works. That's how donations work. But Jude, thank you very much for coming on and plugging that and telling us everything that's going on. It's been fascinating. And I guess the only thing to say is that we're the same Wombles. We're back.
I've been standing here since many years ago. You've been under my skin for as long as I have known.